Hey, cashiers. We Have the Receipts podcast is coming at you live from Netflix is a Joke Fest in Los Angeles.
Chris, are you kidding?
No, Netflix is a joke, Courtney, but this is not one of them. Our listeners in LA have the chance to join us for a live recording of our podcast, We Have the Receipts, hosted by me, Chris Burns.
And me, Courtney Revolution.
Join us and a few surprise guests from your favorite Netflix reality shows on Saturday, May 4th at 1 p.m. at a secret location in Hollywood.
To be announced.
Get your tickets for the We Have the Receipts live show at tudum.com/WHTR. That's Tudum, TUDUM.com/WHTR.
Tickets are limited. If you can't make it to the show, we still want to hear your beautiful voice. Leave us a message at speakpipe.com/WeHaveTheReceipts.
You may even hear your own voice on the show.
Grab a ticket at tudum.com/WHTR.
And we'll see you on May 4th in Los Angeles. Bye, cashiers.
My brain is a very crazy place, and I tend to overcomplicate things with literally anything in my life, not just with food. So I'm constantly trying to figure out how to make things simpler. And that's kind of what I try to do on Queer Eye as well, with helping people. If you teach them how to make something that's incredibly complex, what are the odds? It's going to look great for TV, but what are the odds that they're actually going to replicate that time
and
again?
Yeah, do it again.
You want it to be sustainable. We want staying power. Mm-hmm. We want Beyonce.
Everyone, and welcome to We Have the Receipts. I'm your host, Lawrence B. Hamilton.
And I'm Chris Burns. And today we have a 3-for-1 deal. So we had the pleasure of being in Los Angeles and seeing all of these amazing people in the same day on a nice little press junket, as they call it, in the industry. Thank you so much. So we're talking Drink Masters. We're talking Easy Bake Battle. That's the Anthony cooking show that everyone's there, which I was watching The Blacklist, an old episode of The Blacklist, and who played a Polish police officer? Anthony.
What? Really?
And I was like, what the fuck is that, Anthony? And he only spoke in Polish.
What?
And then later, we talked to Fortune Feimster about her comedy special. So,
love her.
Let's talk, since I brought him up, Easy Bake Battle first.
Hopefully you guys have already watched it, but just in case you haven't, it is where we put talented home cooks and their skills and their creativity to the test. Now, they're going to be making fast and easy dishes that are delicious. And plus, on top of that, y'all, they get a chance to win like huge cash prizes. Of course, Anthony from the Queer Eye is the host. I love him so much. He's awesome.
Also was so like nice in person.
Yeah. He has a good personality.
Like, I know.
You would think kind of that he may be kind of like, oh, I'm kind of,
I know, I don't want to be,
he's
like
so warm and nice.
I was expecting him to be not
kind of standoffish. Because
he's like a hot person, like you know, there's like really hot guys will you know, be a little standoffish sometimes, but
he's so sweet. And he's funny. He actually has a great sense of humor.
He was really fun. Did you have an Easy Bake Oven?
I did have an Easy Bake Oven growing up, and I burned many a light bulb trying to make brownies.
Always wanted an Easy Bake Oven. I never had.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, a girl's toy back in the day.
And that's the thing, though. I feel like men should have Easy Bake Ovens, because then maybe more men will cook. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be a boy-girl thing.
No, totally. But back in the day. And I thought that the show would be like, they had to use an Easy Bake Oven. That's not what happens. Mm-hmm. It was it's just like simple, like home cooking.
Yeah, simple home cooking.
Which, speaking of, what is your go-to? If you were on a food competition show and you could make anything, what would you make?
Probably my mac and cheese or my mashed potatoes. I'm good at side dishes. You know, I'm a side dish queen.
Ooh. What's your mashed potato secret?
I can't tell you that. I can't tell you. But my mashed potatoes are a hit. Everyone loves my mashed potatoes. But I do have a secret ingredient.
People love my
mashed
potatoes.
Maybe I'll tell you later,
too.
But not on air. What would you make?
I would
in a
make
competition.
Mashed potatoes. No.
You would.
No, oh, I wouldn't.
Shoot.
I wouldn't.
We're gonna have to
but
have a mashed potato
it would
off.
Be a fun thing to do. I would make I also make really good like Brussels sprouts if we're doing like side dishes.
Ooh, okay.
I would probably make I make like this pasta sauce, like a roasted red pepper mm-hmm. sauce. And that I'd probably make something like that. That's a good. Yeah. I make a good
you put
lasagna.
The hot pepper sauce on the Brussels sprouts?
Oh no, no. This is if we're doing a side
separate
competition,
okay.
then I'm doing Brussels sprouts. But if I was making just like one main dish, I would make like mm-hmm. this roasted red pepper pasta, or I make like a really good seafood chowder.
We're gonna have to have a Friendsgiving or somehow in person.
Yeah, we'll send each other.
Make that happen.
We'll have to send each other mashed potatoes.
Right. In a bag.
Okay, so let's get into our interview with Anthony. And you guys are going to want to watch this one if you can on Tudum because he's very good to look at. So let's get into Easy Bake Battle. So as culinary expert on Queer Eye since 2018, you've really made a name for yourself as cooking in simple ways, in amazing ways with simple ingredients. Mm-hmm. What sort of led you to that? Passion, I guess.
Ooh. I mean, food in my family, it's something that we're all so obsessed with. Like I used to go to your point, we were talking about carbonara, mm-hmm. about like when we first met. We used to go to restaurants when I was like, I remember I'm just having a weird daydream, so I'm just going to share it. We were in North Carolina because my dad windsurfs and we would go to Cape Hatteras. I was 8 years old and we went to a restaurant that now doesn't exist anymore. It was called Labrador and they had a roasted halibut with like a crab pistachio crust.
Ooh.
And I remember having that. And then that's on good. Our drive back to like the motel where we were staying at on the beach, I remember my mother being like, oh, like it was missing some kind of like citrus. And my dad was like, oh, it like needed some kind of heat. When we got back to Montreal, they recreated that dish and figured out how to make it better. So that's kind of been like a symbol for how I've approached food. Like I love going to restaurants and then I think about it obsessively and I'm like, how do I make it better? How do I make it easier? And so it's just kind of been like a running through line in my life. And I feel like with cooking, it's something that for so many people can be so intimidating and they don't even know how to broach it at first.
Yeah.
And so I'm always trying to figure out because my brain is a very crazy place and I tend to overcomplicate things with literally anything in my life, not just with food. So I'm constantly trying to figure out how to make things simpler. And that's kind of what I try to do on Queer Eye as well with helping people. If you teach them how to make something that's incredibly complex. What are the odds? It's going to look great for TV, but what are the odds that they're actually going to replicate that time
yeah,
again?
Yeah, do it again.
You want it to be sustainable. We want staying power. Mm-hmm. We want Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I was listening to her album earlier on. It's the first time
so
I ever
good.
Make a reference, but it's so, good.
What's your favorite song on the album?
We had this combo yesterday.
We did.
So there are two. I would have to see the track list, but I don't know the names, but there are two that I'm obsessed
with. Sing a little
something.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking.
I would if I genuinely remember them, but if I had my phone, I would show you. I'll tell you later, but
well,
I feel very
know,
strongly about them.
Beyonce is very impressive, and speaking of being impressive, like how I did that little, yeah, see how I did that?
Love a clever segue.
So when you cook for somebody, what's your go-to meal to try to like impress somebody? Like if they're coming over your house or you know.
Look, pasta is always a crowd pleaser. It makes everybody happy. I try to focus on like one type of protein. So if I'm going to like roast a whole beef tenderloin or something like that, but it kind of has to match with the pasta that I'm making and it can be kind of tricky at times.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's basic, chicken is a really good one. Paillards, if you pound them down really nice and thin, they cook very quickly and they don't have to sit for too long.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually make them like, I mean, like right when your guests arrive, so you're not in the kitchen for too long. And then with pasta, if it's winter, I love a bolognese.
Mm.
A meat sauce.
Hell yeah.
With some fresh grated parm.
Like, yes.
Or if it's like more spring summery, I'm obsessed with lemons.
Me
and
too.
So I'll do like a nice little lemon pasta with some like crushed walnuts. Recipe available in Anthony.
We'll
Let's
see.
Do dinner. My second cookbook available on newsstands now. Support your small bookstores. pasta is always I feel like fail safe. Or basil is something that people really love. So if you make like a nice simple classic pesto, roast some zucchinis, get them really nice and crispy, so they're like zucchini chips. And it's something that you can enjoy room temperature the next day.
Okay.
Or at 1 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and you're hungry.
I'd be very impressed by any of those dishes.
Yeah, I was like, man.
Absolutely. There any, as an adventurous eater yourself, is there any food that you just like can't?
Yeah. I have one ingredient. It's a spice and it's caraway seeds. Do you want to hear about a traumatic childhood experience?
Of course we do.
All right. So I'm 6 years old. I just got back home from Polish school. My sisters were somewhere and I was in the kitchen, and my parents, Polish households often have caraway seed bread. Mm-hmm. And caraway seeds look like weird little bugs if you look closely enough. Like they kind of curl like little worms, but they're not. And it's a savory bread that we eat with like hunter stew and stuff. So I found the savory bread. I didn't know savory bread. And I found a massive jar of Costco-sized Nutella. So I slathered it on like it was my last meal. And it was like, it wasn't a good sweet and salty. And I got violently ill and projectile vomited all over my parents' linoleum flooring in their kitchen. And I have not been able to have caraway seeds since. God. But I'm still a big lover and aficionado of all things Nutella.
It's like me and gin.
Tell us a story.
I was not 6 years old.
I know. I was like, oh, wow. We got a lot to unpack there. Let's get into it.
So you know how everyone's like getting into meal prepping, right?
Yes.
Do you have any tips for meal prepping or like, say, planning to eat on a budget? Because you know, hey, totally. Things are tight.
Inflation is a thing that exists.
Yes, it is. It really is.
So actually just as I've been accepting the fact that Instagram has shifted us from no longer encouraging posts to reels. Bear with me. There's a point to this.
No, we agree.
I've been like doing the videos, and one that I did a few days ago is actually something that I eat about 2 to 3 times a week. I'm obsessed with cauliflower rice. I try to go like a little less carby during the week and try to figure out ways how to sneak my vegetables. I treat myself like I'm a 5-year-old. And cauliflower rice is the greatest hack because it's so cheap. And what people don't understand is that we often want the florets, like the part that looks like a flower, and people don't eat the stem. The stem is actually the best part. I'm not angry. I'm just passionate.
Is that what cauliflower rice is made from, the stem?
Very often, if you buy it at a grocery store, they use the stem because it's cheaper, but it's actually milkier and more dense and has a lot more flavor. And I think it has more nutrients in it. So I make cauliflower rice. I freeze it in like little bags or containers. You throw it onto a hot pan. Any nut that you might have, almonds, pepitas, pine nuts, which are seeds. Mm-hmm. Literally any nut that you have, any type of spice, throw in the cauliflower rice for 3 to 4 minutes. It cooks so quickly. You don't want to overcook it so that it's a mush unless you want to turn it into a soup or a puree.
Okay.
And then that's your base. And then you can use like a meat alternative. You can use fish. You can use chicken. So you have like your starchy fix, and then throw in another vegetable, and you have a whole meal.
That's a healthy
meal.
I'm
gonna try that. I was about to say,
Do you have any like guilty things you do when you're cooking, like cheats that you would be embarrassed people knew, like using Velveeta instead of?
Not Velveeta, but thank you for the specificity.
For example.
So, okay, I love ketchup. I'm not afraid to say it.
Me too.
And when I'm making, I make like a lazy bolognese, because a bolognese can take several hours to make. Mm-hmm. As we all know, and during the week, if I use like ground turkey, I still use my mirepoix, which is like your base of carrot, celery, and onion. But I add a little bit of ketchup to my tomato sauce because it adds really nice acidity and sweetness so that it kind of tastes like a marinara. A little bit goes a very long way. And then the other thing that I like to do, if I make a lot of, you know, when you buy basil, you use 3 leaves and then you look at the rest of them and they're already brown.
Yes. Yeah.
Make pesto, and then you can store it in ice cube trays or in like little containers.
Cool.
And then with that pesto, throw it into a can of tomatoes, which is less expensive to buy than prepared jar sauces, which have tons of like crap and sugar in them. Yeah. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. If you throw in pesto into like regular canned tomatoes that you can crush with your hands, you have a perfect sauce that's ready in minutes and you didn't waste those basil leaves.
I never thought of
before.
Like ice cube sauce prep.
Yeah.
And it melts so quickly.
That's genius. It's
I've
like those
so
fancy,
already,
not
like...
fancy, listen to me, not fancy, but like the bird's eye like stir fry.
The fancy bird's
eye. They have like
bird's eye PR is watching this and they're like, we've never had the word fancy attributed to art. Wow, let's get on this.
And then a bird's eye back at your place.
I meant the opposite of
but
fancy.
You know what? Let's have a little moment of appreciation for frozen vegetables.
For bird's eye.
Or for any frozen vegetables. Yeah. It sounds like an endorsement, but they genuinely are like they're frozen at peak freshness. Mm. There's nothing that's added to them. One thing I learned on Easy Bake Battle that a lot of our home cooks were using that I have always been like thinking that I was too above it, buying frozen chopped onions. It saves you so much time and so many tears.
Wow.
I never thought of that.
And they're already ready.
I didn't even know that sold frozen
chopped. And the little pearl onions.
Onions
that take forever to like peel and then take you like a freaking hour. they're already frozen without the skin, and you just plop them in 8 minutes before your stew's ready, and they soften up perfectly, but they still hold together.
Mm.
Mm. Genius. I got all types of stuff to try for Cam. I hope you're ready. Okay, I got some meals.
I got frozen onions.
Frozen onions with bird's eye and ketchup and Velveeta. Voila.
Oh my God.
The Chris Burns special. If you had to choose one of your Queer Eye co-stars to be a contestant on Easy Bake, who do you think would fare the best?
So if I'm going from a Schadenfreude perspective and I just want to see somebody live out pain and anguish and stress, I would pick Karamo. It's no shade. He knows it.
He knows
it all too well.
Yes.
He has started, he's pivoted from Skittles to fruit platters.
Okay, that's
set.
A good
I'm
change.
I'm happy to report.
So that's a good change.
Going after fresh
growth.
Fruit.
Yep. Growth. Yep.
And, but if I actually wanted somebody on the show to join, it definitely would have to be Tan.
Mm.
Although he cooks a lot of like very traditional Kashmiri, Pakistani, and Indian dishes, which are very laborious and take a lot of time, he's an incredibly talented cook. He makes the best dal, which is like this incredible lentil stew. I think he uses like 30 cloves of crispy garlic. It's unreal. I would love to see him just like blow everybody's mind. Wow. He would fail though.
He would make
He's very patient and slow and like thoughtful. It's like you gotta go.
Move quick.
I just want to see his perfect pomp just kind of like fall to the side and
right,
just see like a mess
cooking.
Like a mess with his
steam.
Hair. Yes, exactly. And his billowy shirt just get really wrinkled and yeah.
So we know that, you know, you're a wonderful cook, but you know, if you had to be mentored by any cook dead or alive, who would it be?
Ina Garten.
That was quick.
That was quick.
You didn't have to think about that.
She just represents the joy of cooking for me.
Yeah.
And Nigella Lawson.
Mm.
Both of those
romantic.
Women.
Mm-hmm.
Martha Stewart too, but more in like a I want to impress my mom type of way.
Yeah.
Like what?
Honestly, like any, I'm drawn to these like maternal, either home cooks or chefs. And I think with Ina especially, I've been watching her since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just like an ease and a simplicity that she brought to everything using limited ingredients, which is something that I'm really passionate about, that I fail at miserably 99.9% of the time. and her making that perfect roast chicken for Jeffrey as he comes home. I'm like, don't we all want to be Jeffrey? You giggle because you want to be Jeffrey.
I know.
Who doesn't want to be Jeffrey?
Of course.
Yeah.
I want to be Jeffrey.
Of course.
In her Hamptons house with her like topiary and her manicured lawn and like
garden.
Picking her own rosemary. She doesn't have to go to the store for rosemary. She's got it in her yard.
Imagine picking your own rosemary.
Oh. I know.
Can't even
the
dream.
Life.
So we love Easy Bake. We watched.
Mm-hmm.
What makes that different than other cooking shows?
I think we definitely tried to bring elements of things that I've seen in different, because I'm obsessed with cooking competition shows, of things that I feel work. I think pace was something that was really important, just to kind of like keep it moving kind of like very quickly. But I also, you know, I can't help myself but like learn from past experiences, or at least I try to. And with Queer Eye, it was empowering people who weren't necessarily confident in the kitchen. But I love the idea of somebody who does something incredible for their community, but it kind of goes under the radar and they're not as shameless a narcissist as I am and are on TV with it and do it like in a personal capacity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And these home cooks, so many of the moms, which I'm inherently drawn to, there's something so empowering in bringing them into this public forum and having them compete to show what they do every single day for their families and showing everybody in the world, like I think of Haley, that like what they do has worth. Just because it's not on TV, but now it is on TV. And so that was something that was incredibly important to me. And I think, you know, with TikTok, it's here to stay. Love it, hate it, don't understand it like me. There's so many incredible hacks that are being shown there. And it was something that I wanted to show and make available to all people. And so I thought it was great to just see like the innovative ways that like home cooks literally microwave a potato.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That's my mom does that.
Yeah, I do that.
I use my microwave for my clock.
I do. I like punch holes in it with a fork. And
yeah.
It's so brilliant.
Yeah.
It saves so much time.
Yeah, my mom's like, I'll make a baked potato. It'll be ready in 5 minutes.
Love.
Amazing. So you mentioned some of the contestants from the show. Do you remember anyone? I know that there was a lot that really stood out to you, like a meal that they made
Ooh.
That was really like,
That was one
of them. Yeah, I know it. I'm tasting it right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had a lovely Kurdish woman. Her name was Iman,
mm-hmm.
who came, and she knocked everyone's socks off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw her episode.
Mm-hmm.
Tasting her food, it just tasted like home. It was a home that I wasn't a part of growing up, but she managed to really honor her heritage and like usage of spices, but still somehow managed to keep it simple. Like this woman used like 15 to 17 different spices in like any given dish, but still kind of like made it attainable. And she taught me the greatest kitchen hack of all time that I learned. She finished earlier in one of the challenges and she had free time on her hands. So she grabbed a bag of flaming hot Cheetos, chopped up a perfectly ripe avocado, dumped everything in the bowl, and poured lime juice and brought everybody a sample of this creation. It's the greatest snack of all time.
You may have just changed my life.
Do you taste it?
I
spicy,
do.
Crunchy, limey with the acidity and then like the buttery creaminess of an avocado. So good.
She's like, I didn't finish early. I finished right on
time. I know.
Between Queer Eye and Easy Bake, it seems like you're very into changing people's lives. What do you think draws you to this type of show?
I think it's less me wanting to change people's lives and me just, I just genuinely love people so much. Mm. And on Queer Eye, it's meeting them kind of where they're at and trying to push them towards the next step, whatever that is. But I'm just, I it never gets old learning about their stories. Even on Easy Bake, I really wanted to allot time to like really understand what their lives were like.
Because
I think especially in like the world that we live in right now, it's like often we can feel like we're alone or like people aren't listening or like we're not being heard. And when you hear somebody's personal story, they can seem so completely different. But you realize that the more you get to know somebody, the more similar we actually are.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I think we can mic drop right there.
Boom.
You know, that was it. Thank you so much, Anthony.
Thank you for having
me. I always learn so much when I talk to you. Second time. So now
second
I'm looking
time,
forward to the third.
For
now, see, next time I talk to you, I'm going to be like, listen, I tried this for Cam.
Yeah.
You won't leave me alone. I know,
all right. So let's talk about this gin incident now. I'm kidding.
Like I said, he's very good to look at, but let's move on.
Up next, we got a chance to talk to a group of mixologists from the show Drink Masters. By the way, me and Cam are a fan of this show. Cam is all about learning how to make cocktails and drinks. So on this show, of course, you know, it's always a little bit more fun when there's a cash prize involved, right? So we have these amazing mixologists who showcase their cocktail crafting skills and they compete to win 100K. That's a lot of money. That's
a
whole lot of drink supplies to buy. Okay.
That's a night out in New York City.
Right. Going like that. But they compete to win the title of the ultimate drink master.
Here's the thing. Can I say something?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Having worked in restaurants, having lived in New York for the past 10 years, ordinarily, when someone says that they are a mixologist, my eyes could not roll further back into my head. But these people are like actual fucking mixologists because I'm talking people that'll be like, I'm a mixologist. And then they're making like vodka soda.
Gin and tonic.
Like, I'm like, well, where did you like learn things? These people are like doing insane shit. So I really loved seeing like the actual side of mixology and not what I always kind of thought it was.
It's like a skill, seriously. Like,
it's crazy. The things, and I mean, I hate because when I was managing the restaurant, I would have to, like, I knew how to bartend and I would have to, but it was my least favorite thing to do because it was like, it's just not for me. It's like so much work to make this one drink and then it's just make another. It's not.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's not for me. So it's very impressive.
Do you have a favorite drink?
It really depends on the mood, you know? If I'm like out at a place, it'll either be like espresso martini is obviously because.
Fancy.
Or like a dirty vodka martini. If we're doing like a cocktail.
I like sidecars. Have you ever had a sidecar?
I have heard of it, but I can't remember what it is.
It's I like to put like cognac in mine. So ooh. I'll do a little Douce sidecar. So it's cognac, triple sec, a little orange.
Oh, I love that. The cocktail bars like make me anxious.
Do they?
Because I'm like, I feel like it's so...
A lot going on.
Like, I feel like I'm gonna break something. I'm going to knock something over.
Oh, it's a little too fancy. Like,
yeah, it's a little bit too... Yeah, I'm like...
Too uppity. Like, I just want to drink. Yeah,
I'm like,
fun.
I need like the yeah. I need like a dive version of a cocktail bar.
I can feel that. You can feel that.
But we did. This was such a fun interview that we have coming mm-hmm. up. Cam was with us.
He was.
And we did some like taste testing of random yeah. shit, I'll say. Because it wasn't cocktails. It was like... ingredients
things. Yeah, I feel like our producers just grabbed some stuff from the kitchen, like, here, just
yeah, and it was,
but it's okay, you guys have to watch and listen and see, so check out this interview. All right, so welcome Lauren and Kay. Ann's home. We're sorry he's joining us virtually, so what's up?
He's a hardworking
what's happening, what's happening.
Ask him about
then we have Cam here with a cameo. He couldn't stay away because Cam loves craft cocktails. He loves everything about drinks. So he's like, I gotta join.
Yeah.
I gotta join.
This is definitely my type of show. I loved it. Mm-hmm. So fun. I was jealous, so I wanted to kind of reach through the screen.
Well, we're gonna have a chance for you later. We're gonna yes. get some yeah. cocktails.
Before we get into this game, we wanna know about Drink Masters. Mm-hmm. If you wanna tell the people about this first sort of reality competition show of its type.
Yeah, I mean, this was a really great opportunity to be a part of something that can really show and display a different side of the food and beverage industry. Mm-hmm. And the individuals who are part of it are OGs. Like, they're really great at what they do. And, mm-hmm. and you know, coming on set and seeing everyone, some people we knew, some people we didn't know, and I can say probably everyone respectively felt that way. It was really empowering. And then everyone really showcased their what's important to them outside of making cocktails, which I think for me was the most inspiring part about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Were there people that you saw that you were like, oh, shit?
it was more excitement, honestly. It was like, oh, this is going to be fun, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I love friendly competition, and yeah, I was confident. Here for it. But there was a lot of growth throughout the experience and time on set. And I think, it was really fun to be a part of the, like, inaugural mm-hmm. season and yeah. And really, like, the first type of show on Netflix. So yeah
mm-hmm. totally.
So as someone who makes so many different types of cocktails, do you guys have a favorite cocktail? Is it impossible to even pinpoint one? This is for you, Two-Tone. I want to know your favorite.
I'm in, go ahead.
Okay, so what's some of your favorite cocktails, least favorite that you don't like to make or like to drink?
So for me, it has a lot to do with where I am, what time of the year it is, mm-hmm. who I'm with. If I'm sitting on the beach, I want like a crushable beer, a Pilsner or something yeah. right. to knock back.
Knock
you
it
know
back.
What I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I'm not out there like, oh, I'd like a 7-ingredient cocktail.
yeah.
But you know, with friends and things like that, I always love going out to cocktail bars and we mm-hmm. all get different things and try. I love sours, daiquiris, mm. like, you know, kind of simple classics mm-hmm. are classics for a reason, you
yes.
know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm all about that life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If there was a cocktail that you never had to make again, what would it
ooh.
Be?
Question.
Probably a Ramos Gin
Fizz. I was just going to say the same
which
thing.
One?
Do not order that drink.
A Ramos Gin Fizz?
Yeah.
So. Oh. Okay. I love to drink them. They're delicious. It's a classic pre-prohibition New Orleans. So the thing about them is they used to be made with Shaker Boys, and they had 10 Shaker Boys, and they'd each shake for like a minute each. And
oh
you have to
God.
Shake the living crap out of this
oh,
drink
okay.
to get the egg white like, foam, and it kind of rises. And
oh,
but
man.
It's a... You know, you're 10 deep in the middle of the weeds on a Friday night
yeah.
and someone comes in.
Yeah.
Can I get a Ramos? You're like,
that's going to
really?
Take me like an hour.
yeah, the shaker
like,
boys
no
are
way.
Off.
I have a Ramos on my menu. My staff hates me. Every time we do new menus, they're always like, are we going to take
Ramos
off? Do you want to take it off? And I'm like, but the other thing about a Ramos is that it's kind of like the mark of a good bartender, of someone mm. that can really make a beautiful Ramos. And being in a small market, we like to put them on the menu so people are like, they make Ramos
yeah.
yes.
But I think we're almost about to take it off.
okay. They're listening. You're still.
I know. They literally like heard it from
right.
all the way
thank
from New Mexico.
They're like,
it's off the menu. It's off the menu.
It's off.
So I wanted to ask all of you, since, you know, you're in the reality TV world now. Hello, welcome. do you guys have, like, a favorite reality show?
Survivor.
Survivor.
Oh, my God. I know. Yes.
Okay. Would you go on that
yes.
show? You would?
I totally would.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no. Wait, yes. You said Survivor?
Oh, yes. No.
I think I'd go on Survivor, too.
Okay, so I'm old. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I'm in my 40s. I'm 24, and I remember the first season, and I just, like, I think that was, like, the benchmark back then. Uh-huh. And
Jerry? Was Jerry season one?
Jerry was, I think, is he the naked guy?
Jerry was the girl who then she comes back.
Oh, she was season
Remember,
three.
She was like
yeah,
infamous.
She knows her Survivor. Yeah.
She's like, okay. So I'm not going to lie, during the pandemic, you know, our industry kind of got shot and there was nothing to do. And I literally binge watched like all 30 some seasons.
Oh my God.
During, that was my pandemic thing. And I was
there
like,
was that many seasons.
There are there's 41, there are 43, 43 I think.
Yeah. What?
So I think that's something I would do because I think the physical competitions would be challenging for me, but I also think that it would be something that would like push me out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
It's always good to get pushed out of your comfort zone.
Absolutely.
That's kind of extreme, but you know, it's still good to do it.
And then there's like a free diet.
Right.
Yeah, but literally also.
What about you, Tom?
Mine would be, man, only because I only watch this with my mom because my mom is hilarious and 90 Day Fiancé, but oh watching gosh. It with my mom.
Yes. That show is hilarious, actually.
She breaks it down. And I mean, she presses pause. She gets upset. She's like, I mean, this girl is terrible.
She's
so funny. And it's beautiful when I'm watching the show and then watching her. So like it's like two shows.
That is the best.
That's the joy of reality, is like watching it with someone that you care about and like seeing their response, bantering back and forth.
Talking back to the TV. Now why did you do that? We do that all the time.
Oh, you know what? He is stupid.
I know.
He is just slap stupid.
Lauren, what about you before we move into this game?
I'm a hopeless romantic. So all the too hot to handle love is, I mean, I'll tell you, when it came out, I was like, babe, like, how, like, I'm going to ask you this question now. What do you think? And he's like, oh man, like, can we just watch the show?
He's like, we've seen each other. We're already married.
But yeah, I'm a hopeless romantic. I love love.
Yes.
I'm here for
Wait
it.
Wait for season three of Love is
Blind.
It's a ride.
It's crazy.
It's a ride.
Should we play
this game? Let's play this
game. Let's do it.
Okay. So these are four separate cocktail ingredients.
Okay.
Some are liqueurs, some are not. So we're gonna taste them and describe them without giving it away.
Okay.
And you three have to try and guess what it is.
Do it.
I feel like you'll be pretty good at it.
They're probably looking at it like, well, that's
just the color.
All right, so are we going here and up? All right, so we'll go this way and up.
All right, let's start here.
Now I'm gonna let you guys know I am not a drink master, so
I'm
gonna try to work with y'all. Describe this the best way I can.
And we can't do anything too obvious.
Well, I would recommend smelling first.
Okay.
Swirling it in your tongue, and then taking a sip.
I don't want to swirl this on my tongue.
And then
if
you
that
can describe.
Explains anything.
Okay.
It does.
It
actually
very,
helps
very
a lot.
Good, though.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Mm. It tastes like something you'd have at a holiday.
It's giving, it's giving pudding.
Oh.
So it's sweet?
It's sweet.
It's very sweet.
Is it nutty?
It's a little nutty.
It's very rich, sweet.
It's like,
decadent.
Decadent, yes.
Dessert, very desserty.
All right, I think we've got it.
Oh, what is it?
Amaretto?
Close.
No, but I have to double check.
No.
It's pudding.
Not literally
vanilla
nutty.
Pudding.
Not vanilla.
Not vanilla,
creme
but...
Creme de cacao?
Yes.
Bingo.
Oh,
I didn't
want
to say chocolate.
Not
vanilla.
Like, okay. But this does taste like chocolate pudding.
It does taste
there we
like
are.
Chocolate
pudding. Okay. Wow.
If I can just add in, my favorite part of this game so far is it's giving pudding.
It's giving pudding.
All right,
okay.
Well, we got to know
it's
the
new hashtag. It's trending already.
Right, it's giving pudding.
It's giving pudding.
I told y'all I'm not going to be good at describing these drinks.
Getting
citrusy.
Yeah, cleaning perhaps.
Cleaning?
It seems cleaning more alcohol-y than the other ones.
Higher proof?
Oh.
For sure.
Is this is it citrusy, like orangey?
Very orangey.
Cointreau? Orange
liqueur? Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
this tastes like...
Well, you know, with the creme de cacao and the... It's giving like the orange chocolate.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Woo. All right.
Look at Joe. They say
that. Okay, this exactly is...
It
is.
It's
cinnamony.
Oh, yeah. This Amaro? Is a strong one.
Whoa.
Oh,
yeah.
You can't see
it. No,
we
can
just look.
Oh, no. The color. It's an Amaro.
Let me see.
It's very. Is that what it is?
No.
It might be a version of that.
It's
but
probably
we don't
a
know.
Type of Amaro.
So, what does it taste like?
Yeah. It smells like cinnamon.
It's very astringent.
Bitter.
Oh, it's think. I think
that's,
it's
that is it.
Just bitters.
Yeah, it's like big red.
Yeah,
I didn't even taste.
Did you take a sip of bitters?
That's why I was like,
I'm gonna go small sip.
Ooh, that was
high.
That was
okay.
A lot.
We put like drops of that.
Yeah,
drops.
Just that's like liquid big red.
All right,
I can smell it.
I am awake.
It was so strong.
Now, like, I feel like I'll switch out coffee.
Oh, I remember.
Check what the answer is.
Okay.
No cheating.
Smells,
I can look at
Kate. Oh, smelling.
Girl,
right.
If I could read upside down, I could barely read straight.
Okay, here we go.
It smells like something healthy.
Like why turn your nose up?
It smells like healthy. It's giving like a green juice accompaniment.
It is giving.
Cam, what does it taste like?
It tastes like something earthy. Something spicy.
No, I'm like, why is
spicy?
The color?
It is a spice.
Yeah,
it's
still
it's
sweet.
Any
it's still sweet, but it's spicy.
It tastes like almost like a soda that has a little spice to
it. Is it limoncello?
It tastes like it can make a drink
not
from
Russia.
What is it?
Is it like vanilla
honey?
Like
is it
ginger beer?
Yes. Ginger beer.
Healthy.
From Russia.
Russia
beer is healthy, right?
I wanted to say
a Moscow Mule. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, y'all did amazing.
Lauren got it.
Spicy. That makes sense. Y'all did amazing, as we expected. Tano, in spirit, you were saying what it was.
I was right with y'all.
I know you were right there. He just wanted us to shine.
He just didn't want to blurt out the answers because he picked up on them.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to have to get Cam some water.
I learned so much during the series. I'm a ringer at this point.
Well, thank you guys so much. Before we go, I think, why should everyone watch the show?
Mm-hmm. Want to take this one first?
For me, this show is long overdue. As someone who's, saw Top Chef and all of these things, creating cocktails is difficult and fun and challenging and artful and creative. And I think that people get to see a side of our industry that is very respectable.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, believe it or not, a lot of us don't drink and we don't party. I don't, this is a career. This is something that we're passionate about. There's no pivot for me. There's nothing else I would ever want to do in the world than what I do right now. And I think a lot of people think that bartending is a stepping stone or something you do while you're doing something else. Mm-hmm. I want to be an actress, or I did it while I went to school to be a lawyer. And for a lot of us, this is it. This is what we do, and this is what we love. And it's something to take a lot of pride in. And I think what we do is pretty badass.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's definitely a skill. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. That's not – what you do is not putting yourself through school bartending.
No.
I could never.
And I have to say that it really shows the art of drink making on this show. Yeah. It's really phenomenal. So
we take
I think besides the cast and the crew and the producers and everybody else who kind of made this thing happen, and you guys have seen it, but I think people are going to take away almost like the I want to try to do this. I want to try to do this at home.
Absolutely.
And try to create. And I mean, I know when we wrapped the first season, I went back and I tried to start doing stuff. I was taking pots out and my girl was like, what are you doing? I was like, just relax. I'm about to make something up. I saw this on the show. So I think people are really just going to like try to challenge themselves to really get into it because, these 12 people were amazing at what they do. And you're going to take away something from it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're so excited for the world to see.
Yeah, to see this show.
You're going to see a lot of people trying to do it.
Yeah, don't be nervous. I mean, hey, we were inspired, so I'm sure you guys are going to inspire
so many more people, and we look forward to the world seeing it. Congratulations on the show. Yes, yes.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
It's giving pudding.
It's giving pudding.
It's giving pudding. Hashtag pudding.
I can still taste the cacao liqueur.
Oh, yes. Cacao. Oof. That's just fun to say.
It is fun to say. It's not fun to drink. I'll say that.
No.
Let's get into our third segment, which was Fortune Feimster. We were talking to her about her stand-up special, Good Fortune, which is her second Netflix comedy special. She reflects on her own good fortune, ironically. Ahaha. Which is her birth name. I think we asked. Didn't you ask that? If that was her legal
name?
Yeah,
that is.
We talk about the life events that that she experienced that inspired this whole special. What did you think about the special? Are you big on stand-up specials?
You know what? I do. I actually love stand-up. And I love when comedians kind of make fun and talk about their own life,
which
a lot of comedians do. But I guess I just love Fortune because this is like my second time meeting her. And she's been so sweet both times. Yeah. And I just love her personality and her aura. And she has a really cute little dog that I met at the party.
Oh, yeah. He was so cute.
That we went to. Did you meet her dog?
I did.
Oh, so cute. So, you know, I'm a Fortune Feimster fan.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I like grew up watching Fortune on like Chelsea Lately and stuff. So she always kind of was what I was aspiring to. So it was really nice to meet her and also that she was awesome to talk to and not like, you know, no one wants to meet their hero and then it be terrible.
That's true.
Which is why I'll never meet Lady Gaga.
Oh no.
I just think I think that if I met there's celebrities where I'm like, if I met like Ariana Grande, I think she would like me. I think Lady Gaga.
You don't think Lady Gaga?
I think she would be like I don't think she would love
you.
I don't know that she would vibe with me that much.
Really? I think she would love you.
Well, we
I really
will see.
Do.
But speaking of vibing, let's get into our interview with Fortune.
Well, we are so excited to have you, Fortune. And, you know, we met previously, and it's so good to see you again. It's so
you
crazy because now it's like the roles are reversed.
That's
now.
Right.
Now I'm interviewing you.
I'm in the hot seat.
Did she give you difficult questions?
Yeah. No, actually, Fortune, I tell everyone you are so nice.
Like,
she's
good.
The sweetest person. I was excited to see you again today.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
Yeah. So enough with the nice. I'm joking. But so let's talk about your name. You probably get this all the time, Fortune.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you like came up with that name. Is that your natural name?
It's my natural name. It's my middle name.
Okay.
It's my great grandmother's maiden name. There was a bunch of people in my family with the last name Fortune.
Ah, ooh,
that's a great last name.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And my grandmother, who I was very close to, really, really wanted my mom to name me Fortune. And my mom said that before I was born that I would have to be Miss America to live up to a name like Fortune. So I grew up with my first name and which is Emily, but it never really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. And I found out how much my grandmother wanted me to be called Fortune, and we were so close. So after she died, I sort of had in the back of my head that if I ever did anything like entertainment related or, you know, anything on stage, that I would use that name as sort of a nod to her. But I kind of thought you could be, you know, one thing on stage and another thing in life. And quickly, Fortune just was very synonymous with me and my personality.
Yeah.
So it just clicked.
And, it's a great name.
It is a great name.
Does anyone still call you Emily?
My mom does, and that's some people that I grew up with. But even when I was growing up, that name never really fit. People would call me by my last name. Mm-hmm. They would say Feimster, Feimy, Feimer. I was never really getting called that. So I think it was more of my mom just loved that name, and it was my cousin's name. Sort of, you know, Southerners are big with family names. But I think at this point, everybody just feels like Fortune fits.
Yeah.
And I do feel like it is a cool, like I said, a cool nod to my grandmother because she instilled a lot of confidence and self-worth in me. And it feels like she kind of knew who I was supposed to be before I did.
Amen.
Yeah. I love that. See, Granny's be knowing.
Okay, so your Netflix special, Good Fortune, drops on October 25th.
Yeah. Yes.
So let's talk about your process and like going into something like a special. How do you prepare for something like that? What influences you to even come up with, you know, what you talk about?
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, by the way. Oh, we've seen it.
Thank you.
It's so great. We loved it.
Oh, thank you guys. I mean, it's the preparation is many, many, many shows on the road. You got to go out there and tour this material for a really long time. You start writing it at, you know, I start writing it at home. You're just thinking about stories about your life and, you know, relationship. What do you want to tell? I really wanted to pick up where my first hour, Sweet and Salty, ended, where I was talking about growing up and my journey. And this one was more of like me as an adult, me getting engaged, me being married, and what I'm like in that relationship. And, you know, stuff that you think will be relatable to other people. And then you go out on the road and, you know, keep building that set and trying to make it funnier and more interesting, keep people's attention. So I did like, I think 100 cities.
Wow.
165 shows in about 14 months, 15 months. God.
Wow.
So you just get it as good as you can and then film it and hope for the best.
What made you land on Chicago for the filming location?
Because that's where I met my now wife, Jax.
Oh, nice. Oh,
wow. Yeah, so my first one I filmed in North Carolina because it was so much about growing up that I thought, well, this is a lot about us getting engaged and being in a relationship. And we met in Chicago. She was living there. And I met her at Gay Pride Weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, normally you don't meet your wife there. You're having some fun, but I got lucky. So it felt like a cool full circle moment of like, here I am talking about our journey, and this is where we met.
That is very full circle.
Yeah.
Okay. I also, the pictures, we have to talk. I know you discuss it in the comedy special, but I remember looking at your, I think they were like People exclusive photos.
Yeah.
And I would have never guessed that you were washed away by the sea.
I mean, yeah, we had these gorgeous photos that we, you know, we're looking our best. And, we, the very end of the day of our wedding day, we were, we got married in Malibu, and we were like, oh, let's go, you know, over here by these stairs. The water is so pretty. The sun's setting. And we got pummeled by this giant wave, and we saw the whole thing coming in slow, like slow motion.
No.
You couldn't do anything. We were just like, and our photographer captured the entire
thing. That's so perfect.
I don't know how she didn't get swept away. She was out on a rock.
Oh my God.
You got the right photographer.
And she had our entire day's worth of photos on that camera. So if she had gone.
Oh no. It would have been. Memories.
Yeah, if the photographer had been washed away completely.
I mean, we didn't want anything to happen to her. Oh, you know, also the camera.
What does that see now? That's something that happened that you'll talk about for the rest of your life. Like, it's a memory, right?
Yeah.
It's a core memory.
Yeah, that's the best. It makes it a better story.
Yeah,
it was just great photos.
And thank God you didn't get swept away completely.
Well, it was hilarious because we went down with the photographer, just us, and we came back up, and our friends were upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the last they saw us, we were all done up, and we come back just drenched.
Oh, like, what?
And they're like, what?
Oh my gosh. Well, speaking of memories, you know, comedy is not an easy job choice. Like, it's hard to do, to go out in front of audiences and like share your life.
Yeah.
Do you have a memory of either like your favorite show or moment or a time when you bombed? If you've ever bombed. I mean, maybe you
rare.
You know. But, you know, a memorable show that you just like remember throughout your career.
Yeah.
For good or bad.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, obviously, filming both specials, that was a really special memory because you're, you know, you just want to get it right. You've been working that material for so long, and you know you're going to share it with the world. And there's something really special about all these people coming together to tell your story, to help you tell it. So those really stand out for me. I mean, you obviously have some bad gigs. I did one early on for an event where the person in charge quit like the week before, and the guy who took over had no idea what was going on.
No.
It ended up being like in a biker bar. They had switched venues last minute.
The stage
was a crate, and the light was, you know, one of those work lights that you clamp on.
Oh my
God. That was the spotlight. It was like a karaoke machine
what?
Microphone. And this was like, this was right after Last Comic Standing. Nobody knew who I was in that room. They promoted it as this big like sit down dinner and comedy show. It was like a Chinese buffet, and that was like half, you know, picked at. And these people wanted no part of me or my comedy.
My gosh.
They were just like, "What is this?
We're here for the Chinese buffet."
Yeah, they wanted egg rolls, not my comedy. So I brought my mom for moral support, and I just remember her looking at me, just being like, "Oh, is this the life choice that you really
this
want?
This is what you want
to do." So I know I had a guy open for me. He was supposed to do 20 minutes. He lasted 2.
Oh my god!
If that tells you anything,
did he just give up or
did they boo him?
No, I mean they all were just like, "Who are you? What is this?"
It's like, and good night.
I wanted to ask people like, "What did you think you were coming to?"
Yeah, right.
But I had to stay up there for 40 minutes. It was the longest 40 minutes of my life.
Well, speaking of, at what point did you decide that comedy was what you were going to do for a living?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, you spend so much time trying to just get a job, trying to get paid to do what you love. You know, I spent a lot of years really hustling and not making a dime at it. I think when I got hired at Chelsea Lately, I finally got to make a living making people laugh. It was the first time I think in my career I felt like, okay, I've made it. Yeah. Like I can actually, you know, pay my bills. I owed my roommate a lot of rent money. But you're just spend so many years hustling trying to get that first break.
And, the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then finally it happens and you just feel like it's too good to be true. And I was really lucky that door was open for me and have been getting to do this since.
Well, we're all lucky the door was open
for
you.
Yeah, I know. We are happy.
Thank you.
So speaking of like stand-up comedy, what would you say makes like a great stand-up comic or a great stand-up, comedy act?
I mean, I think we've really entered into a time where stand-ups are sharing more of themselves. They're more of their own stories. I really like that. I like when someone has a unique point of view, like you're learning about them. I love watching a comic and at the end of it, I feel like I know them a lot better. And in that, I think they're, you know, if they're telling relatable stories, you get something out of it too. You're like, I've done that in my, you know, life or that happened to me when I was dating or just pulling stuff from their experience that makes you feel better about your own life helps. So yeah, anybody that's willing to share themselves in a very authentic way, when you feel like you're watching somebody and you're like, that is who that person is. They're not putting on a show.
Right.
But you feel like they're being authentic to their stories. I love that authenticity too.
And that's like, I was going to say, that's what I love about, you know, some comedians too. It's like when they're up there, you can tell they're just like telling stories. It's almost like story time.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah.
It's their life. It's, you know, they're telling you real stories and it's their life and they're just a funny person and you are interested in what they're saying. And but they're able to tell it in a way that keeps you engaged.
Yeah.
An hour is a long time, you know?
Yeah.
It's a long time
it really
to tell
is.
A story.
What do you make of all of these form like reality stars, Bachelor contestants who now are stand-ups?
I mean, there's room for all of us, you know. It's just a different it's just a different thing that they're doing. They're you know, it's a little bit more of you know, entertainment kind of thing instead of like stand-up. It's like it's a little bit different. Like I'm gonna tell you the you know, hot guys. Yeah. You know, which is great. There's like room for that. And so I'm always like the more the merrier, you know, if you are authentic to yourself and telling, you know, your own stories, your people will find you. And yeah, so I'm like, whatever, do your thing, you know, live performance is fun.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than getting in front of an audience and hearing that laughter.
I love what you said. You said, if you tell your story, the right people will find you. That is so true. Because people feel like, oh, I have to cater to, you know, this and that. It's like, no, just share who you are.
Yeah.
And the people who matter will find you.
That's right. If they'll resonate with you or they won't.
Yeah,
you can't control that part of it. So
say that. You better preach it here, Porch. You better preach. Speaking of, like, comedians, do you have a favorite comedian?
I mean, I like a lot of people. I grew up on Saturday Night Live. That was like the thing that resonated with me. So I was obsessed with, like, you know, the Adam Sandlers and the Molly Shannons and Will Ferrell. And I still to this day am huge fans of all of them. I love those people that do these really big, bold characters and committed to them and weren't afraid to look silly or be ridiculous. Yeah. I always resonated with that. But my all-time favorite, who will remain so for my lifetime, is Carol Burnett. I am a huge Carol Burnett fan. And I grew up watching reruns of her show with my grandmother. And I feel like I've tried to, not knowingly, I think I emulated some of what she did, because she, you know, the monologue is essentially stand-up and the character work. And then the Q&A at the end was improv, and that's what I've done in my career, is stand-up, characters, improv. And again, another person who wasn't afraid to be silly, but she had such a she has such a big heart. You can tell that she has that, you know, thing where you just want to be her friend. You want to sit down and talk to her. So yeah, I really love her. I got a chance to interview her on our radio show.
Wow.
Yeah, and not in person.
Was she nice?
She was unbelievably nice.
What if she was like, no? She
was, she was so rude.
She was sometimes really homophobic.
You meet the people who you look up to, and it's like nothing. Never know.
Yeah,
like,
don't meet your heroes.
It was on the phone, and she asked me about my name as well. Like, even though we were interviewing her, and I got to tell her the story about my grandmother, and my grandmother was who introduced me to her. And it was another cool full circle moment. And at the end of the interview, I cried. I was like so touched to get to talk to someone like that.
Yeah.
I used to watch Carol Burnett on, do you remember the show Mama's Family?
No one ever remembers
when I talk about Mama's Family, but Carol Burnett was like Vicki Lawrence's sister. I have a like fake painting of Carol Burnett smoking a cigarette from Mama's Family above my bed.
Love She's the best.
Okay, so not as kindly, let's get into judging, because you've done a lot of judging shows.
Oh yeah, that's true. I was like, who am I judging? A lot of food shows.
Yeah. Drag Race.
Yep.
Is there anything that you would like to judge, or anything that you would not judge if you were asked?
Well, I'm always shocked when people ask me to judge things, because I feel like I'm like a pretty like easygoing person. I'm not very judgy. But I love being in those worlds, because I feel like I'm learning stuff too. Like, doing Drag Race was so much fun. I'm like, all of these women look gorgeous. The drag queens are gorgeous. I'm like, and I'm gonna sit here and judge their makeup. Or I'm like, you know, I'm like sitting there in a blazer judging people. So, for me, I always try to come at it from a place of positivity, because that's how I sort of view the world anyway. And appreciating what they do, and less of a, like, you're doing this wrong. I prefer to be the person that's doing more of the lifting up.
Put a little sugar on it. A little sugar. Yeah. Thank you for talking to us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yes, thank you, and congrats on the special.
Yes, appreciate it.
And everybody go watch the special immediately.
Good fortune.
Yes.
Okay, listen, like I said, meet your heroes, because it was great to talk to her. And then we got to chat even more when we saw her at the party that night. So,
yes, it was a great time. Great. And y'all be sure to check out her stand-up, Good Fortune.
Yes, if you haven't already. And next week is our last episode of the year. Don't worry, we will be back in 2023. But our last episode will be a year in review, and so we'll be giving some teasers of what's to come next year, but more so we'll be talking about everything that has happened last year, which is this whole show. It's only been a year about, I would say.
Yeah.
Right? I think we started in like March.
Yeah. That year went by quick.
It
My goodness.
Flew. And so many shows, so many relationships ruined.
A lot of relationships ruined. a lot of tears.
So send. Oh my God. The ultimatum. Speaking of. Which there's a queer ultimatum coming out. Let's be.
Yes.
And I don't think that's I know that's not a secret. So we'll have a lot to talk about next year. But send us your questions and what you want us to talk about for our last episode of the year, what we want to delve deeper into, because we make this show for and with you. So send us your questions to receipts@castmedia.com. That's cast with a K, or you can DM me at Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
Or me at Need for L Speed. And guys, be sure that you are following. No, seriously. Hit the follow button, like, right now.
It's the last episode of the year.
Speakers and just kidding. Or you guys can go and look at our beautiful faces over at Tudum, which is the official Netflix site to help find and fuel your fandom for the shows and movies you love. That's netflix.com/TUDUM. Today's episode of We Have the Receipts is a production by Netflix Tudum and Cast Media. We are your favorite host in the whole wide world. I know we are. Chris Burns and Lawrence B. Hamilton.
Our producers are Arvin Lee and Enid Cortez. Our executive producers are Colin Thompson and Harris Lane. Our editor is Elliot Deneve. And our technical engineer is Travis Holden. See you next week for our final episode of 2022.